And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Today is the 31st of January, year of our Lord, 2023. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on again, off again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. James, few things to hit on before we start today's show. Number one, obviously, James is on the road. That's why we are using Zoom audio today.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, sorry about that, everybody. Second thing, I got to apologize for this. I have been like increasingly more and more under the weather over these last few days. So I may backseat a little bit in this one and give James the reins. But, and I'm also going to try to, because we're using Zoom audio, I'm going to try to use that to my advantage. If I have to sniffle at any point, I will mute myself because it is disgusting having to listen to people do that. So a week ago for last week's show, we laid out some framework for what the next few weeks, sort of like a roadmap in terms of content for what's going to be going on with this show. I think what we said was we were going to do fake trades this week, and then next week we were going to prep for the trade deadline, get everybody ready for that.
A proper prep, yeah.
Yep, and then the following week is when we will officially do our light pre-draft stuff. So that's what you guys have to look forward to. I want to say this really quick, James, because next week, we are going to be doing a more formal trade deadline thing. Any even little tidbits of information that you have, holster them, chamber them, so that way we can, you know, like this week, let's just spend, you know, 30 minutes bouncing stuff off the wall at each other. You know what I mean? So that way we have,
yeah,
cool.
Have fun. Really quick, I want to shout out my guy, Mike Odino, who is a loyal listener to the show, works for Bally, just actually got dinner with him. He brought up, he wanted me to mention to you, your guy, Nick Claxton.
Oh,
he's just a goat now. Like,
yeah.
you should be like running laps with that.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like a legit, are we looking at him as like a depoy kind of dark horse? Like
No, I think he legit might be the sixth man or most improved.
Yeah, at the very least, right? I think with the depoy thing, I mean, Jaren Jackson's kind of leader in the clubhouse on that front, but it definitely feels really vindicating to have him be playing as well. He had a block like a week ago that was, I mean, just absolutely filthy. Shaving the dreads, I think, kind of that helped him a lot. I think that's kind of been what it's been with him ever since he got the haircut.
Another more aerodynamic for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Another guy. Dwight Powell like hasn't been awful this year. Spencer Dinwiddie like is obsessed with him. So a lot of nice things happening in my camp. But yes, the Claxton thing is very exciting to me. That is not lost on me at all. Definitely.
Shout out to Mike.
Shout out to Mike.
Really,
Thank you.
Quick. Do you want to talk about the Rockets game? Just because that was. Ooh. I mean, it segues into our fake trades because I wrote the column. If you're living under a rock or if you tuned out on the Pistons, they lost to the Rockets. On Saturday night, the Rockets were without Jalen Green, Şengün, and KPJ.
Yeah.
It looked like it was headed for a Pistons butt-whooping. Like, the rare Pistons are going to blow this team out. And then the Rockets just dominated them on the offensive glass. They had 16 offensive rebounds for 21 second chance points. Just a absolutely dreadful performance from the Pistons in terms of kind of just effort. And I hate saying things like this, like effort and heart. I hate like questioning players' heart, but like the Rockets wanted that game more. Mm-hmm. That's the reason that the Pistons lost. Like 16 offensive rebounds is absurd. For people who don't know, the Grizzlies lead the NBA in offensive rebounds, and that's at 13.3. So think about how insane it is that the Houston Rockets got 16 in one game. And I wrote the column after, like, I just think something, whether big or small, I think it might make sense for Detroit to do something because they're too inconsistent. I think they're prioritized, and I understand it. It's the rebuild. You're still trying to figure out who's a keeper and who's not. But I wonder if like maybe the individual is being prioritized a little bit more than the team, and not in a bad way, but in a way that clearly I think that there are guys that maybe should play more minutes. To help, you're not going to form the identity you want to form because Cade's gone and Marvin's gone and you're missing two big pieces, but I think there is just something that there needs to be some type of change. And I don't know what that change is, but I feel like there just needs to be maybe a little feng shui, a little feng shui movement just to try to recalibrate some things, whether it's a small trade, big trade, something else. I'm not sure what it is, but it feels like we're heading that way where they maybe do a little something just to try to build some continuity and consistency and start really trying to hone in on those type of culture things that they want this team to be known for. Like they want this team to play hard and be gritty and be tough. And they want that to evolve as they grow with in terms of gaining talent and being more cohesive. But right now, even that toughness and grittiness isn't there right now. And I think that, I'm just curious if maybe they see that too. And even if it costs them 1.5 percentage points, maybe are willing to do something to try to make it look good. Because if you think about it, the Lions, where the Lions turn their season around is about equivalent to where the Pistons are now. And I'd say a lot of people feel really good about the Lions going into next season. The Pistons have enough time to kind of, like they did last year, where they played pretty good basketball for the second half of the season. We're entering that territory now, and I think it would be beneficial not just for the present, but even for the future if they were able to, I don't know, if it's addition by subtraction or flat out addition, just something, a little tweak to try to change the feng shui.
Yeah, a couple of things here. One, I think using just the term feng shui, I think that's a really, really good way of putting it, because I think that's kind of, it kind of just hammers it home. That's a perfect way of putting it. On the Lions thing, that's actually kind of an interesting point, because if we're talking about how the Pistons need to, you know, make a trade, whether it's substantial or, you know, on the margins, whatever it is, it's like, well, the Lions started playing really, really well after the Hawkinson trade. And that was something that caught a lot of people. I don't want to say it caught a lot of people off guard, but it was kind of divisive. I think immediately after the trade, it's like you had Brock Wright and James Mitchell step up and the Lions started winning some games. And, you know, is Bogdanovich our TJ Hawkinson, right? Is Caris LeVert the guy that we need to bring in here? Hypothetically, of course, maybe we'll jump into that a little bit.
Opening up minutes for somebody like Livers, who is kind of encapsulates the things that the team wants to be about. He provides that pretty much every night, even though he's not a box score stuffer. Like stuff like that might even just be beneficial.
You know, it's interesting you bring this up, and I thought the story that you wrote after the Rockets game, and no spoilers, I won't read any of it. Go subscribe to The Athletic to check it out. But we did get an email about this, and credit to this person, because they sent it in at the 11th hour. Like they sent it in like literally an hour ago. They were asking, you know, a few weeks ago, if you asked James, it's a, you know, just be patient. This team's young and they got to figure it out. And it feels like, at least from your perspective, the Houston game was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And now you're kind of, and I'm asking this respectfully, like, is that kind of how you viewed it? Because now you're like, something has to change.
Good question. I think it's more so like, I'm still in the be patient, and I still think that this team is like, I still think the outlook is very much optimistic. Like, I don't think I understand why people are sour right now, but like, I still think that things are going in the right direction. Like, no, I don't question that part at all. I think though, what the Houston game did for me is just kind of pinpointed, or at least singled out, like, something's just off about this team, and I'm not really sure what it is. You got to talk to different people. You get varying questions or varying answers. To me, I watched that Houston game and just saw a team that, I mean, they got out-willed, out-hearted, out-muscled, and That's supposed to be what the Pistons are supposed to be about. That's
right.
If they're not going to win games, they're supposed to fight. And they had an opportunity to pick up two wins in a row with possibly, we're recording this on Sunday night. I'm in Dallas before the Pistons play the Mavericks on Monday. I'm pretty sure Luka and Christian Wood won't play, with an opportunity to maybe win three in a row. And now to build some momentum and learn what it takes to win. And it's just, they take two steps forward and take three steps back. And it's been kind of regular. And again, that's part of the process, but I certainly think that I think it can be what fans want, like the fans that understand that this is a rebuild, they're not going to win many games, but they do want to see them pull out the game like Houston to know that things are all right or be more competitive, not get blown out. I think there are marginal things that this team can do, marginal and extreme things that this team could do to get there. Yeah. It's just a matter in their case, is it worth doing now instead of the summer? And I understand that argument. Why you don't have to do it now if you're ready. If you're kind of just, this season is what it is. Well, if we're going to get better value or able to make better choices or different decisions in the summer, let's wait till then. And I understand that it makes sense, but it does certainly feel like if something happened within the next week, that there is a world in which they do something to try to figure out why it feels off and maybe try to correct that a little bit, recalibrate a little bit.
The psychology of this is kind of interesting.
I don't know if it makes any sense what I'm saying.
I'm there with you 100%. I think everybody listening probably is. The psychology of this is really interesting to me, though, because if this loss happens in late February, early March, probably not as many people mad about it. You know what I mean? Because ultimately, I thought it was going to be, and I think a lot of people thought this, that it was going to be really hard to out-tank Houston this year. Like, they are losing games in really, really ugly fashion. Conversely, so are we, right? But it's funny that, you know, a week ago we get smacked by Milwaukee, 81 points let up in the first half. You let up 150 points in the game. And, you know, we come on this show and we say, this is a game that you were going to lose even if Cade was playing. Like, it wasn't, this is, you just lose that game 99 times out of 100, right? And then you do go up against a team that you match up and, with pretty well, and it sucks. But you know what I mean? Like, if this game was closer to the end of the season when the tank race is a little bit closer, like, if nothing else, the silver lining here is you are a little bit closer to, and I get it. Like, you know, people are going to sit there and say, well, it doesn't matter if you get, you know, 1, 2, or 3, because you all have the same chance at number one. It's like, yeah, but I don't want to drop to 6. Right. I don't want to drop to 7. Like, that's the part of it that matters. So even though I texted you after the game and I was like, I don't know why I felt like I needed your approval, but I was like, am I allowed to be kind of pissed about this loss? And you were like, yes, because, yeah, it was the offensive rebounding that was just really getting to me. And when you had mentioned the Memphis thing the other day, when it happened, that was kind of like the, you know, the thing that kind of boiled my blood a bunch, and reading all the post game quotes about dudes just every single night going up to the podium and having to say the same thing. Like, yeah, man, like, we tried really hard, but it just didn't work. That gets really old after a while. And eventually that excuse kind of stops working. So,
or they say there wasn't enough effort.
Right.
Which seems to be more of a, yeah. Yeah. There's not much more to talk about with the Houston game. This team, the Pistons, our weird team. They have a chance tomorrow, or I'm sorry, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, the result will be in, but if they beat the Mavs, they will have swept the Mavs, Timberwolves, and Warriors. So welcome to your 22-23 Pistons. They're super random.
How random is that? I tell you what, you know who is like, you know, we talk about Game 6 Clay, or I don't know, Headband Sadiq, which I don't know what happened to that. Where's the headband? But like those iterations, Untucked Kyrie, the list goes on. Can I give you one? Can I throw one into the zeitgeist that maybe not a lot of people have talked about?
Cottage cheese Kennard, what?
Contract year D'Lo. I tell you what, dude, if you
he's been shooting the shit out of the ball.
And we on this show historically,
like, yeah, we're not,
we have been anti D'Angelo Russell because he's like, we believe that he's like the antithesis of efficiency. But I tell you what, dude, if you end up with D'Angelo Russell on your basketball team and he's at a contract year, like, he's going 50, 40, 90. It's insane.
He has been shooting so well from deep. And I mean, I know he's been on a tear even just shooting lately, but even in the Pistons games, like he started like both those games out like five. He's just been shooting the ball.
Yeah,
really
that's right. I forgot. I texted you because he gave us like 15 in the first 5 minutes and I turned the game off. I totally forgot
all
about
threes,
this.
Just cooking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, shout out to contract year D-Lo. It's a thing.
James, we talk about how the Pistons are in a bit of a rut right now and maybe something needs to change. We're going to take a quick break, get a word from a sponsor, and then we're going to talk about what that change might be.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Alrighty, James, you sent out a tweet the other day asking for fake trades via email, which I will read again. Bunandcardigan at gmail.com, spelled phonetically.
Spelled phonetically.
So it's not an ampersand. It is A-N-D. Bunandcardigan at gmail.com.
That's got to be our next t-shirt, spelled phonetically.
Spelled phonetically, just that.
Before we read some of these trade emails, can you read the email that you told me about?
So I'm not going to read it because we will literally be here for 10 minutes, but I will tell everybody what the email was.
No, read it because I didn't even read it. No. I didn't read it. Can
Brother,
you not read it?
No, I can. It's like a funny email, but we will literally be here for 10 minutes reading the email. So I
think once you describe what the email is, people will want you to read the entire email.
So I won't name names because I don't know. But so he sent us an email and it was like, I could do a word count
you
check
text,
real quick.
You texted me, "Brother, we just got an email. Somebody had a dream about you."
Yes.
And emailed it to us. That's what you told me.
Yeah.
Sent me a screenshot of the text. It was very long. I didn't read the email because I wanted you to read it on the show. I don't know what this dream was about still.
We're like, I mean, it's 450, 500 words. I swear that's how long it is. It's insane. I love this guy for sending this email because he clearly spent time.
Thank you for sending it.
I will forward it to you because I almost did in the moment. But I also didn't know if I was going to read it on the show. And then it took me so long to read it myself, like just by myself. So I will read it to you off the air. And then if we end up thinking, if it goes well,
read it on the air now.
We will literally, how about this?
All right, well, can we end the show?
End of the show.
All right. All right.
We have an impromptu story time with James to end the show. Because today, as of this recording, is technically an anniversary of something that we will get to later. And we will read the email. How about that?
All right, let's get into the trades.
Okay, fake trades. So the other day, you and I spent a few minutes kicking around some trade ideas about a certain player from the Eastern Conference. Do you remember who that was? I think OG. It was literally like, yeah, OG Anunoby. Interestingly enough, we did get two OG Anunoby trade emails. So what do you say I jump into those first?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. From Andy, this one is very simple. Jaden Ivey, Sadiq Bey, and Bogey for OG Anunoby and salary filler. The reasoning here is the Raptors can flip Bogey for a first round pick and the Pistons get the defensive wing they desperately need. Lots of good guards projected in the early lottery. That feels to me, initial reaction, that's a lot for OG Anunoby. Thoughts?
I agree. And I think Sadiq or Bogey are in either or. Until we see how the draft settles and maybe they end up with a Brandon Miller, or Cam Whitmore, whatever. However, on the surface, I could understand why somebody pitched that. So let's break it down. Cause I know people will freak out at even mentioning trading Ivy. So let's be delicate here.
Well, we didn't send the email.
No, I know, but even entertaining it, like people are mad that we're probably even talking about, how dare you even? So the Pistons' biggest need right now is a two-way wing. OG Anunoby is that. Now, listen, I think Anunoby is good. I think basketball Twitter he maybe is the most overhyped. Like people talk about him on Twitter like he's
the Tony
reincarnation
Allen.
Of Paul George. He's a really good player, but like, let's pump the brakes. With that said, if you trade Ivy and Sadiq and what was it, Bogey?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot, but let's say Ivy and Sadiq or Ivy and Bogey, you're almost the biggest question is here. Question here is where do you think Ivy's ceiling is, right? Because he's the wild card of this group. OG is what he is. Bogey is what he is. Sadiq is likely is what he is. All good players in their own right. Ivy's the one that obviously the ceiling is, we're all still trying to figure out what it is, and we're some time from there. So I think it's very obvious that Cade, if you make a deal like that, you still have Cade. If you believe in Killian and you like what you've seen so far, maybe there's a world in which Killian is the starting guard with Cade, or maybe they end up with Scoop. And then you end up getting your two-way wing in the form of Ananobi. So I understand why that is proposed. I don't even know if I'm making sense. But
no, dude, you're gold.
I think that's a little too much for him. But I do think, like, if he would have just stopped the trade at Bogey and Ivy for Ananobi, like, if I'm Detroit, I'd maybe think about that. But I don't think, and I was talking to a friend of the show, I'll leave nameless, about a trade similar to this. And I agree with him that I don't know if Ivy is like a Raptor per se, like just the type of guys that they go for, like player wise, like just they usually go for long, kind of rangy. And maybe they change that because it hasn't worked building the way that they have since then. But yeah, I don't know. I think the Raptors maybe say no if it's true that they have 3 first round picks available to them. But I don't know. I don't think that's like a terrible trade idea.
You know, we had a take a couple of weeks ago. I think it's what you named the podcast. Let me peel back the curtain, because sometimes you guys email us and say, hi, Nick or James. I am the one who is responsible for emails, and James is the one who's responsible for naming podcasts and doing descriptions. So there you go. That's how we do the show. You titled one of the episodes, "We Would Be Afraid to Trade Sadiq Bey." And without rehashing that pod, let me guess Jaden Ivey for a second. I would throw him in there too, because if he gets traded in a season where it's kind of already like what is even happening right now? We talked about last week how he's kind of been set up to fail from the beginning. It kind of feels bad if you just, I mean, like, I get it. You're cashing in on a team need in a moment that you need it. And it's like, you know, this is a guard heavy draft. You have decent guards on your team. Like, you know, Killian's trending in the right direction. You still have Cade Cunningham, but it feels kind of lame to give up on that dude, you know, 40 games into his career, because I think he has the motor and the chip on his shoulder. Word to Dr. Seuss on that one, because that rhymed and I didn't mean to do that.
Motor shoulder, that's a reach, but all right.
And I just don't know if that is the trade that I would want to do it. Like, if I want it, but that's the thing, is if like you're trading,
agreed.
Like, I just think if you have that piece,
it's got to be, you got to aim bigger than OG Ananobi.
And OG Ananobi's great. Well, sorry,
he's good.
Now
he's
doing
really good.
The thing that you don't like when people do, but
yeah, you sound like Twitter.
Yeah. This next one, again, OG Ananobi trade. So we will still read this. I will say that it was sent in by Tyler. Tyler, I'm sure you're an amazing guy, but seeing a screenshot of the ESPN trade machine did trigger my fight or flight for a second, because I have gone a very long time without like seeing anybody's fake trades in the trade machine. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, 3-team trade here. So the Pistons are sending out 5 players and they are receiving 2. So the Pistons are sending Bogdanović, Alec Burks, and Nerlens Noel to the Los Angeles Lakers. They are also sending Marvin Bagley and Sadiq Bey to the Toronto Raptors. The Pistons acquire Russell Westbrook and OG Ananobi. Now, there are some picks that are thrown in here for posterity's sake. You know, how much does it matter? But I think go ahead and tackle this one, because I think I already know what you're going to say.
Yeah, so who does Toronto get in that deal?
So Toronto gets Marvin Bagley and Sadiq Bey essentially for OG Ananobi.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
Yeah, probably not.
So that's kind of where it stops right for me.
Well, the Bagley piece of this is weird, because it's like, well, first of all, he's not going to get traded. Like, we can just say that, or he's not going to get traded, right?
Like this year?
This year. I'm sorry. I'm talking deadline.
No.
Right. So it's like, even if he was healthy, how valuable would that chip be? Probably not very.
Yeah, I would just like if he, if they were, if he were traded, I would assume it has more to do with his salary to get up to a higher number. Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, to that point, thank you for the trade here, Tyler. To that point,
yeah,
can I just
thank
ask
you, Tyler,
a quick question about the Miles Turner extension?
Sure.
Did that just happen to make him more tradable?
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's part of it.
Because I just don't, that it's kind of like the John Collins saga where it's like we've been hearing for years, like, will he or won't he, in terms of like demanding a trade or something. And then yeah, it like they sign an extension and like they're all buddy buddy. And then it's like turns out, no, they actually do hate each other and they want to leave.
And I mean, I think the Bojan thing's similar too. Like I think Bojan signing his extension made him, not that he was less desirable, but a team trading for him now and gets another year of him. And it's like, I think the year after that's very friendly. I think partially guaranteed, or I can't remember the terms of it right now off the top of my head.
This next one comes from Greg. Hey, fellas, love the show. Three trade
Thank
deadline
you.
Concepts. This one is one that, let me just read it. Number one, do the Pistons want to avoid three rookie extension negotiations this summer? Could they move off one and kick one down the road? Example, Sadiq Bey goes to Miami for Dwayne Dedman and Miami's 2023 first round pick. Now, people, and I'm not going to name names here, but some people, maybe one of them is a co-host on the show, has repeatedly said for like 2 years that eventually this team is going to be in cap hell because Troy Weaver is addicted to drafting too well. So I'm actually kind of on board with this guy. I don't know if Sadiq Bey is first on that chopping block. But here's the thing is, I was talking to somebody about this in Discord earlier today, and they were trying to convince me that like Isaiah Stewart's not a long-term center for the Pistons or long-term big for the Pistons, and that if there was a chopping block that he would be first ahead of Sadiq and Killian. And I was like, I literally think that he and Cade are the two most likely to be a Piston for like 10 years.
I will say this is just a feeling. As long as Troy is around, I don't think Isaiah goes anywhere.
There you go.
So yeah. I'll leave it at that.
Obviously, what do you think?
Things can change, but they love Isaiah. They love the development he's shown. They love that he was able to do more stuff than he showed in college. Like they love what he provides to the team, just in terms of his heart and soul. Like I think I agree with you. I think there's a good chance Isaiah Stewart is a Piston. Now, whether that means he's a starter or not is a different conversation, but I think he's a Piston for a long time.
Bolded, italicized, underline. But what do you think about the proposed trade? Sorry. Sadiq Bey goes to Miami for Dwayne Dedman and their 2023 first-round pick. Dwayne Dedman, after all these years, finally becomes a Piston again. Troy Weaver trades for him for the second time.
Would he get two checks? Would he get the contract? They have to pay him the contract that he's on right now? Plus, are they still paying his dead money? I can't
talk
remember.
About the trade, and I'll look up it to see if he's.
I think
on the
they
books.
Are. I don't know how that would work. I mean, if you're going to trade Sadiq, getting a first round pick back in return would be a good return. Yes.
So Dwayne Dedman is on the books until the 2024-2025 season.
So he would get double checks.
The double dip. Yeah. So
I think that's how it works. I'm going to ask about about how that would work if you waive and stretched a player, but then you later traded for that player while he's still. I don't know if I can think of a situation of that top of my head. That's interesting. I'll ask about it and I'll get you an answer for next week.
If Bobby Bonilla signed a 10-day with the Mets, but like only played in July and on Bobby Bonilla day, he got a check and then he hit a home run. That would be pretty cool. Looking at the payroll right now. I'm sure people are on top of this, but just looking at it just kind of makes me mad. So this year, the only two players that aren't on the team that are getting paid are Kemba Walker getting 9.1 and DeAndre Jordan getting 7.8. I always forget that the DeAndre Jordan
Deadman
thing happened. I'm sorry. Well, obviously, and Dwayne Dedman too.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do
but
this.
Yeah, for that trade. If you're going to trade Sadiq, and you can get a first round pick back, I think that is a fair return. It's just a matter of would you rather have Sadiq, who we all know I think is an NBA player, or would you rather have the unpredictability of another first round pick to use as trade piece, or hope that you hit a hit for the fences.
Please, for the love of God, if you are going to trade him, which we would advise against, but if you're going to trade Sadiq, please don't send him to Miami. Like, please don't put him in Heat culture.
Or
don't,
San Antonio.
Like, don't, yeah, or San Antonio. Don't give him to Pop, and don't let Pat Riley lock him in a room and put all his rings on a table. Like, because that's going to, we're going to, if you think Sadiq is different now, he was training in mountains. Dude, he's going to train on the moon if he goes to Miami. So please, Troy, do not do this.
I'll say I understand if they were to trade Sadiq. I understand the logic. We've talked about it before. I just would be a little nervous. Not because I think there's like Hall of Fame potential. But I think that like I just wouldn't be surprised if like it clicked like sooner than we think. Like I already am confident Sadiq is an NBA player for a long time. To what capacity, we're still figuring that out. But I do believe he's an NBA player and will be for a long time. I just think his work ethic, his approach, plus if he can just be more consistent of a shooter, he has improved inside the arc. If he improves, like there's just, if he improves a little bit here and a little bit there, like we're talking about somebody that you would want on your team. So I understand that, but I understand both sides of the coin. I feel like I'm having a bad pod day, so I apologize.
I actually think you're kind of crushing it, dude. You're totally fine.
That means it's bad if you think it's good.
Jesus, thanks. Second trade proposal that he had in here. The Pistons' second rounder this year is pretty juicy. I agree. Could it be added to a helpful player in a move to add a first round pick? Example, Alec Burks and our 2023 second goes to Phoenix for Landry Shamet and Phoenix's 2023 first round pick. Ladies and gentlemen, ding, ding, ding. We might have a winner.
Nah, I'd rather have Alec Burks than Landry Shamet.
Do you think that you can get more value out of Alec Burks if you trade him? And I should have prefaced that with, I am not a proponent of trading Alec Burks. Well, then Nick, who are you a proponent of trading of? Because you're saying you don't want to trade anybody. That's a great point. That's why I think maybe we shouldn't do anything. And if you do, it should be Bogdanovich, and that's probably it. But I would say Landry Shamet, like sometimes he's kind of a meme. But sometimes you get some Shamet buckets. I don't know. I kind of like it.
He can score. I just would rather have Alec Burks. And I just don't. I don't. If I'm the Suns, I don't see. They're having a. Is the Suns pick for this year?
2023, yeah.
They're having like a. Like, where are they at in the standings right now?
Well, the tricky thing about the West is every single seed is separated by like half of a game. Like, I think the Lakers. The Lakers are in 13th and they're four games out of fourth. So I don't know where Phoenix is at this current moment. I don't know where they are, but I would also add that, you know, I don't want people to scoff at the idea of taking a first from Miami or Phoenix, you know, just because, you know,
that's
that
first.
No. I'm saying I don't want people to be like, oh, well, it's going to be like the 25th pick or the 27th pick, like just because it's later. It's like, I don't know. I think when you're a team that's not very good, because that was one of my problems that I had to mentioned about the Lakers pick. I guess that's not really what my issue was, but
yeah, I guess. So right now the Suns are ninth in the West. Like, there's a world where the Suns pick is the end of the lottery or right just outside of it, and I don't see them giving up that type of pick for Alec Burks. And if I were Detroit, I'd rather have Alec Burks than Landry Shamet.
Well, I was going to save this until the end, but I guess I'll just do it now. On the whole Phoenix thing, so let me set the table here. So
you I have had, a hot take when you're done about Phoenix and Detroit.
You had told me that you wanted me to throw out some of my fake trades too. And what I did do instead of that, because you know how I am, I will never concede that I can't draft, because I know I can draft, but I can't make up fake trades. I just can't do it. I don't know how to quantify the value. I've never been good at it, and I never will. So I didn't try. But what I did instead was write down players that maybe we could talk about, you know, how we could facilitate this. And two of the players that I ended up landing on was like, how do we facilitate some sort of a Nerlens Noel for like Nurkic trade? Like, how does that work? You know, get a guy who like can't go up and down the court six times without having to hunch over and gasp for air. Like, I love Nurkic, and I do think it would be an upgrade for a position that we need, especially on the boards. But then I was thinking, and this is where it all comes full circle, don't worry, if I'm Portland, the only way that I'm trading Nurkic is if it's for a clear upgrade at the five. And we've already seen that, like, is Josh Hart kind of expendable? Yeah, maybe, right? So do you do some weird, like, Josh Hart and Yusuf Nurkic for DeAndre Ayton? Does that work, you think?
Okay. See, you lost me at the beginning, but the end brought it back. I thought you were saying Detroit should go for Nurkic, and I'm like...
I was originally, and then that's when I connected some other dots and was like, this makes way more sense for Portland.
I was going to say, don't you not love Jalen Duren?
Well, but do we want him to be our only center? I'd rather have Yusuf Nurkic over Nerlens Noel.
I wouldn't pay you. What is you? I feel like Yusuf Nurkic makes
he's
way too much money
contract.
To have him. Yeah, to have him coming off the bench. Yeah, you don't need him that bad. I mean, I'll say this. I think Phoenix, and I don't know this, so let me preface it with that. What are the aggregators? I think if I'm Troy, and I'm not saying that he is or isn't doing this, I'm just, this is me putting on my GM hat. I'm going to kind of closely monitor how this Suns situation unfolds, and maybe that's when I strike. Whether that is the lesser of the two coveted pieces in Malca and Mikal Bridges, who would perfectly... is the exact type of player the Pistons need, or if it's like a certain star who's currently injured, who's from Michigan, gets unhappy because Phoenix is trending in a rough direction. Chris Paul's looks like he might be finally done. DeAndre Ayton's just a mess. And maybe you get Devin Booker upset and demand out, and where is he from? Who does he wear Lions hats to games? I'm just saying, unless something more concrete presents itself sooner, I would maybe hold on to my chips for just to see if Mr. Devin Booker or Mr. Mikal Bridges become available in the next year and a half. That's just me.
This is why, hypothetically, of course, right? Yeah, you're just being, you know.
No, I am.
No, I know you are. No, I'm not. Right. I'm not goofing on you here. This is why you do the GM stuff. This is why you do the fake trades, because I wouldn't be able to connect that dot. But speaking of connecting dots, I don't know if somebody's done this before. Surely somebody has. What's going on in Phoenix that Kyler Murray has to have a clause in his contract that he's not allowed to play video games, and then the internet bullies the Cardinals out of making them take that out? But and then like a year earlier, DeAndre Jordan was getting yelled at because he would just like stay up until 6 o'clock in the morning playing video games, playing Warzone.
DeAndre Ayton.
What did I say? Jordan?
Jordan. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on? Some gamers down in Phoenix.
Yeah, there are. It's weird because it's always warm down there. Like, I'd be in the pool. Maybe it's too hot. It is too hot sometimes. I've never been there in the summer. I've been there usually in like the fall or spring. But it's hot then. I can't even imagine what it's like in the summer. That's
closest
not normal.
Closest I've been to Arizona is just flying over the Grand Canyon, which, boy, is that something. Like, I mean, being there would actually be cooler, but flying over, it's great. So another team that we were getting an interesting amount of trade proposals on was the Pelicans. We got two separate Kyra Lewis Jr. trade proposals. I will read one of them to you because one of the guys actually sent in two trades that technically saves us a little bit more money. So I'll do that one instead.
But go ahead and read them.
I think I'd have to Google this. Was Kyra an Avery Johnson recruit? Because I know Colin Sexton was. Kyra Lewis was, I think, maybe a year or two too late on that.
I can't remember. They might have missed each other. Maybe he did recruit him. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Do you remember? You know what I realized when I was, I meant to say this last week, when I was splicing together the best of episode that we did. One of the things that I found that I should have used as my rationale for drafting Braxton Key on my team was that he was an Avery Johnson product, and I had completely forgotten about that. Is Avery Johnson recruited Braxton Key?
Didn't Braxton Key go to Virginia?
Yeah. I don't remember how it worked out. I don't remember how I connected this dot or who. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong player, because you're definitely right. But I swear
Braxton Key. I think Braxton Key might have started at Alabama. Hold on, let me look that up, because of course, the tangent we go on, it's the Braxton Key.
He's not even on the team anymore. Yeah,
welcome
sorry.
To the BNC.
Let me get to this next trade instead. Let me read the The
yeah, Kyrie he Lewis. Started at Alabama. Yes, you are correct.
Okay, there we go. Devontae Graham, Kyrie Lewis, Willie Hernan Gomez, and a Lakers 2023 pick swap, top three protected. I can't read this because this isn't going to happen. I don't believe in that one. Let me read this one instead. Respectfully, sorry about that, dude. Pelicans receive Marvin Bagley, Nerlens Noel, and a 2025 second round pick. The Pistons receive EJ Liddell and Kyra Lewis Jr. I think that is a banger trade and equal value, and we should do it because we would fleece the Pelicans. Thoughts?
What's the fleecing that happened? Where would Kyra Lewis play? We talk about this all the time. You're going to play him over Cade, Killian, and Jaden?
I should have said this. You're right. In my head, he didn't say this in the email, but I'm just going to add this to it. Like we talked about at the top of the show with Marvin, how it's like, you're not going to do anything with him right now. But once you get into the summer, maybe he comes on strong at the end of the year or something, and you're able to do something around draft time. Is that when you do it? Because isn't Corey out the door? Rodney's out the door? Contract-wise,
contract-wise, I wouldn't be. I mean, I would assume this is Corey's last go around in Detroit. Rodney, I would assume that. I'm just guessing that they bring Rodney back just because everybody loves Rodney. If he doesn't get like an opportunity to play more somewhere else, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back.
The Nerlens Noel piece of this is going to be really interesting to see what happens there. Correct me if I'm wrong. I apologize. I don't remember if you had just individually reported this or if it was something that was mentioned on the show. But if he's not moved at the deadline, he's not pursuing a buyout, right?
That is the latest I was told, is that there will not be a buyout if he's not traded.
Interesting. Okay.
But I would not trade for Kyra Lewis. I just don't. You already have three guards. You're trying to figure out what their role is. Three young guards who are his age or younger.
Yeah, I can't find the trade I was trying to look for, but somebody had a Jackson Hayes trade in here. It was with the Pels. It was a lot of players involved, but just in principle, what do you think about Jackson Hayes? You like that idea?
Again, I guess it goes back to, I mean, is Marvin in this trade? Because otherwise
he might have been. Again, I don't know where it is. I can't find it, but I think if he was, right, let's just assume what are the parameters for this to be acceptable to you? You know what I mean? Does Marvin have to be in that?
I don't know if he has to be, but like if he's going to have to be a four full time. So you have to know, or I'd have to know if the team views him as a long-term four or five. I mean, he was shooting the three ball well on very minimal attempts this year to, there were more spacing opportunities for him. But it wouldn't, yeah, if you're going to get Jackson Hayes, you're going to either have to play Marvin exclusively at the four or trade Marvin. I like Jackson Hayes' athleticism. Obviously, everybody does. And he has some wow moments, and he also has very often, like, what are you doing moments. I don't know. He doesn't strike me as, aside from his ability to jump out of the gym, I don't know if he's a Weaver guy, but he's very raw, very young. I don't know. I mean, obviously Troy likes those type of guys in terms of the physical skill sets, but I don't know about the people versus the person thing.
You know, I don't know if this is crazy.
The people versus the person versus the player.
I don't know if this is crazy. And hey, I forgot to tell you this. Sometimes we get, when people send emails the day the pod comes out, I always forget to go back to them when we record the following week. I just remembered when we got an email like a week or two ago, somebody pointed out that their favorite part of the show was when you call me a sicko. Maybe you're going to do that here. I don't know if I'm about to say something crazy. Jackson Hayes is
someone's favorite part of the show. I love that.
Yeah. And you, and I don't remember if I emailed back. If I didn't, I'll have to check and I'll have to get back to him. But what I was going to say to them, which I guess if I didn't email them, they're just going to listen to the show and they'll hear this. But I was going to be like, well, then you'll love to hear that he does that off the pod, too. I was like, he'll text me that sometimes. But the take I was going to say, Jackson Hayes is a sneaky good pick for the most violent posters in the league. Like you said, he jumps out of the gym and he throws it down, bolded, italicized, yeah. Underlined.
Yeah, he gets up. I bet you he has, like, before he's either retired or out of the league or whatever happens in his career, I think Jackson Hayes has like one of those dunks.
Oh, yeah.
I think he gets one of those.
Like the ones that, you know, for the next 30 years, when you watch those little dunk compilations on YouTube, he'll always be in it. Like, I think my brain immediately goes to a J.R. Smith dunk that he had in Denver where he like legit flew. Like he soared through the air. He glided. Glowed.
I mean, yeah, that dunk doesn't come to my mind when I think of that. I think of
Sekou Doumbouya.
I mean, I would think of that before then. Obviously, I was there in person for that. DeAndre Jordan on Brandon Knight.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Anthony Edwards on Watanabe. Tracy McGrady on Sean Bradley. Vince Carter, of course, in the Olympics.
Yeah.
What LeBron did to Rondo.
Anything Aaron Gordon did in the dunk contest.
Was it Jason Terry, not Rondo? Jason Terry.
Yeah, Jason Terry. Yeah, he just like fell asleep on the ground and was like, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to act like that didn't happen. Hey, before we wrap this up, let me kick around a few names. Let me go back to the Portland thing for just a second. Player I'm looking at, he's kind of been forsaken a little bit, has gotten some opportunity, gotten some run, has shown some stuff, especially this year, I think.
This better not be who I think it's going to be.
Nassir Little.
Okay.
What do you think about that? Seems gettable. But then it just kind of, then I'm hypocritical because I was the one who said last week that we're not really in the business of taking on 25-year-old flyers anymore.
Yeah, I just think if Detroit is going to, I just don't see them loading up on young backcourt players and young frontcourt players. Like they need to address the wings more than anything right now.
Well, then I got two players for you that may do the trick. And we brought him up at the top of the show. Let's just get this out of the way. So when can I expect the Caris LeVert notification? When is that going to happen? No spoilers. We'll talk about it in full detail next week. But give me something to chew on real quick.
When does free agency start?
Shut up. Come on. Do it it's now. Like, get his bird know. Rights.
No.
Okay, I'll throw out a different player so you can get his bird rights. How about this? Flint's finest, Kyle Kuzma. And don't groan in your cars. Don't do that right now. Don't be, oh my gosh, this guy. Don't go to
Kuzma. Hold on. Kuzma's been balling.
Yeah. And he's gettable, right? If not via trade, right? Then definitely.
It sounds like the Wizards, unless he has made it clear that he does not want to be there, it sounds like the Wizards are going to roll with what they got, as the Wizards tend to do to just get the 11th seed. But. I like Kuzma. I know others don't. I don't know if I would. I don't think I'd pay Kuzma. Like that. Kuzma's not gonna. I don't. If Kuzma's the highest paid player on my team, I don't think that's a smart idea.
$100 million, 4 years.
Have fun, somebody else.
Dude, here's my.
And I like Kuzma.
Here's the thing. The only thing I would say is to anybody who is like 4 years, 100 or 4 years, $100 million is too much for Kuzma. $25 million a year. Four for 100 is the new like. 5 for what was the old Reggie Jackson? Was it 5 for 80?
5 for 85.
5 for 85. Like it's not $25 million a year isn't that much in the NBA these days. Look at a team's payroll. It's not that much.
I agree, but I could see somebody trying to pay him. I could see him getting paid more than that. And I just wouldn't, where Detroit is, I don't know if I would spend 25 of my 40 million or 30 of my whatever it cost to get Kuzma on Kuzma. I don't think he's a needle mover to that extent.
I agree that you're chancing it on like, is Kuzma going to be our guy? Like, is he going to be our number two next to Cade? I agree with that. Yeah. I don't know if he's the sidekick that you want for Cade at that price tag. And I would also say that to that same point, I think I would rather just gamble it in free agency. If you can get him, you get him. Cool. But if you can't, it's like you don't want to use whatever assets you have, whatever chips you do have, cashing it on something that you don't know if you're going to want to pay. So I would assume that if that's something they do, then they have a good idea. Let me just say this, though, man. If Kuzma re-signs there and we have a Bradley Beal 2.0 on that team, I'm going to lose it. I will get an ulcer. If we have to have another guy in the same city be like, I can't do this anymore. I need to leave. I need to go do something else. And then everybody's like, okay, go do something else then. And then at the 11th hour, he signs this insane extension and then just goes, I never wanted to leave. These were my people. And we just do this on loop for 8 years. I can't do this with another guy, especially if he's playing for the Wizards. Get out.
I don't think Kuzma will do that. I don't know anything. My guess is if Kuzma goes into free agency, he goes somewhere else. Beal was, to me, always, I knew, just knowing stuff within the league, like I never got the sense Bradley was going to go anywhere.
Was that all just like for leverage then?
I would assume so. Yeah.
Get your bag, dude. Whatever.
Yeah, get the money.
Alrighty, James. Man. Let's roll on to a fun edition of Storytime with James. But before we do that, we have to take another quick word from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
James Larry Edwards III of The Athletic. Today, as of this recording, the day it releases will be a few days past, but as we are recording this, it is the 5-year anniversary of the Pistons trading for Blake Griffin. Sent over Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, Boban, a couple first rounders. One of them ended up being Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. One thing about that trade that will always bother me is like Avery Bradley was a good soldier for about 15 games. And I don't remember if it was like a knee or a hamstring that he went down with, but it kind of messed him up, took him out of rhythm. When he finally came back from that, he was just kind of like meh. And then we shipped him off. So like we never really got to enjoy Avery Bradley. And that has always kind of bothered me a little bit. But the reason that we're doing what?
My memory of Avery Bradley is him doing a baseline drive and kicking the ball out of bounds like every time he dribbled it. Like he was hot when he first got there, question. He was, I remember writing the story talking to him where he was trying to prove that he was more than just a defensive stopper, that he was a two-way guard. And as the season went on, that kind of that wore off fairly quickly. But shout out to Avery Bradley.
Well, he was also money on those DHOs from the top of the key. That still to this day is his shot. I say still to this day like he's in the league. Somebody pick up a phone and call Avery Bradley. The reason that I am bringing this up, James, an impromptu story time with James. Haven't done this one in a while. To be fair, you have told this story on the podcast before, but it has been a pretty long time. People maybe either forgot or don't know. So history dictates that James
Come on, man.
Is always like doing something when a major trade pops off. And this was the first time it happened, right?
I'm always doing when I've had, and it's always Blake. It's whenever something major has happened with Blake in Detroit, I've been in the middle of important things. All right. So yeah, it was this day 5 years ago, as you reminded me earlier in prepping for the show, that my first year on the beat, it was the 2017-18 season, January 28th to 2018. I had just got back from. So at this, let me set the table. So at this point, I've only been covering the team for a couple months.
Yeah.
I don't have really any sources at this point. It's just like, if Shams or Woj tweet something, it's like I'm scrambling. Like this is fresh doing this, James. So we're 2 weeks out from the deadline, and I clearly obviously had not put enough thought into that something could happen because it's 2 weeks away from the deadline. So I fly in from Cleveland in the middle of a snowstorm. Get home. One of my best friends from back in Flint comes to visit me. I'm living in Royal Oak at the time. And he comes, he drives through the snow, comes to the crib, and we're kicking it. We're hanging out, playing video games, watching basketball, whatever we were doing. I don't remember. And he gets the idea. He's like, let's go to the casino. I'm like, all right, bet. Let's go. It's about, I don't remember what time it is. I want to say 8 o'clock, something like that. I don't know.
It was late. Yeah, it was later in the day for sure.
Yeah, 8 or 9 or whatever. Driving down Woodward in the snowstorm. Driving. Get to almost Detroit, still in Highland Park area. I stopped to get gas. And I go inside. I had to pay. I had cash on me, so I went inside to go pay. left my phone in the car, pumped the gas, blah, blah, blah. Get back in the car. The phone is face down on my seat and I'm driving. So I pick it up and I lift it up. And I see a notification from Adrian Wojnarowski, the Detroit Pistons have traded for Blake Griffin. And my heart stopped. Because this is, this not only might this, is this not, I think this might be the first trade I've ever covered.
Were you not there for the Avery thing happened over the summer? You weren't there
yeah,
yet,
I hadn't,
right? Yeah.
I hadn't started yet. So I think this was the first trade I'd ever covered, let alone like the biggest trade that the franchise has done since Chauncey
for AI.
Iverson.
Yeah.
So like my heart drops, like I'm in fight or flight mode. I'm just anxious as all shit, nervous. And I look at my boy and I was like, dude, the Pistons just traded for Blake. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah. I was like, we got to go back home. I looked at
boys
him,
night
like,
out is canceled.
Yeah, I was like, we got to go back home. And he's like, why? He like, he didn't understand. Like, I don't know if he fully understood like what was what I had, like my job or whatever. And so, yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry, man. So I drove back home down Woodward in the snowstorm. We both go into my apartment. And I'm sitting there on my couch with my laptop, talking to my editor, trying to figure out how to attack this, what to do. Again, I'm freshly an NBA reporter. And I look over, I'm on the couch, and my boy's just kind of sitting there watching TV. I look over, I'm like, bro, I'm going to be doing this for a long time. You might just need to go home. And I felt bad, and he just like got up and left and drove home in the middle of a snowstorm after he had got there like 2 hours earlier, all because the Pistons traded for Blake the day after a game on January 28th, 2 weeks before the trade deadline.
You know, the other part of this that I think is just as funny, again, a story that I think you've told maybe a few more times, but it's still one of my favorite stories. So let's rehash this one too. Talk about...
When he was bought out?
No. Well, I guess... Oh, no, not that. It was directly tied to the Blake trade. You go to the inductory press conference and Stan gives you a little snarky comment because of arguably, in your words, one of the worst questions you've asked. Not worst, but, you know.
No, it is the worst question I've ever asked. Again, I was, whatever. So it's the next practice day. And the Blake trade, this is before the Blake press conference. It's the next practice.
Oh, okay.
Or it might even have been shoot around because they played, I think they played Cleveland the night before or the next night or whatever. It's a shoot around or a practice. So this isn't just like the beat writers. It's not just me, Rod, Vince, and Keith there. Like every news station in the state came. It was a big deal. So Stan, as always, after practice, came over to the sideline, stood against the wall and answered questions. And there's like, again, there's like 20 people in here. So everybody's getting off questions and I'm just like, whatever, whatever. Like everybody's asked every single question about Blake. So finally it slows down and I get a chance to ask a question. And I'm trying to think like, what can I ask that hasn't been asked? And this is one thing I carry with me to this day. Sometimes you just don't need, like, you don't need to just hear yourself talk. Like, if you don't have nothing, you don't have nothing. It's not, you're around these guys every single day. Some days you're just not going to have nothing.
That's good advice, by the way. That's actually, yeah, that's good that's, advice.
There's nothing that, one of my pet peeves in journalism is reporters who just like to hear themselves talk and ask a question that's either similar to a question that's already been asked or is off topic or just something to hear themselves talk or
it just results in like really typical coach speak.
Yeah. Or just like awkward. Like, yeah. That's like a big pet peeve of mine. Like there's nothing wrong with not having something. We do this 7 days a week for 8 months out of the year or whatever. It's sometimes you don't have a question or a good question. Anyway, so it's my turn to ask a question. And at this point, the Pistons, Stan a day or two before was talking about how the team needs some rebounding help. They need some depth in the front court. And the Pistons also got a gentleman by the name of Willie Reed in this trade, if you recall. And so it's my turn. It's quiet. I get a chance to ask a question. I was like, so Stan, like you mentioned the other day, you guys need to improve on the glass. Do you think Willie Reed will help with that? He looked at me. He's like, yeah. And then looked away. 2 days later, Willie Reed was traded to like Jameer Nelson or something like that. Willie got his press conference, but he was gone like 2 days later for Jameer Nelson.
What ended up happening with Bryce Johnson? Was he just waived? Because he was also in that deal.
Yeah, I think he played a couple games.
I don't remember.
But then he ended up getting waived. I know he... You know what? Actually, he might have been in the Jameer Nelson trade. I think Willie might have got waived. I don't remember. Neither one of them were there for like longer than 2 weeks.
No. The Jameer Nelson trade, I remember people were just bodying Stan for that. And I remember at the time, I was kind of like you. It's funny because that was the first year that I started doing like, I started, you know, doing Piston stuff. And so I remember going to war for Stan on that Jameer Nelson trade because I was like, no. I was like, this is a veteran presence. I was like, this is a bucket getter. I was like, this is exactly what the Pistons need right now. And I don't remember what the injury situation was, you know, who was playing, who wasn't at the time. But I remember thinking it was super important that Jameer Nelson was on my basketball team, despite the fact that he last played basketball in like the Nixon administration. Like he was 100 years old at the time, but I was super duper on board with it. And
I think that was for Stan's sake. I think that was for him to have a guy that he trusts and like was an extension of the coach in the locker room. Cause obviously him and Jameer went to the finals together.
They went to use on the Magic. Yeah.
Yeah. So they had a great relationship, I believe. And I think that was part of the trade, but he played way too much given where he was. That was like the Dwight Bikes. Like Dwight Bikes was better than Jameer Nelson.
Good name drop. Remember Kay Felder?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you have a good enough Rolodex, especially for like the Detroit guys. Cause he was, Oakland. Yeah. Oakland. Yeah.
Shout out to Dwight Bikes, though.
Actually, yeah, I agree with that. Shout out to Dwight Bikes. Did you ever see Stan slamming a Diet Coke? Surely you did.
I can't remember, but I'm sure I saw him. I'm sure I have many times. I'm sure. I can't recall an instance.
I guess you've really only known Dwayne. Like you had Stan for a year, but then he got canned.
My first year was Stan's last year.
That's really funny. Already, James.
And I've been here every year with Dwayne.
I hope everybody enjoyed that story time with James. It was fun to revisit this segment. It's been a really, really long time.
I told you, I feel like I'm not potting well today. So I hope the stories were entertaining if you never heard them before.
Capital P potting from James Larry Edwards III this week.
So we can end it on what you promised me. We get to read this email about this listener who had a dream about me. And this is not made up. At least I don't, maybe you made it up.
I sent you a photo of the email. Arbitrary thing this would be for me to lie about. I'm the one who's like, I don't know if I want to read
content.
I'm the one who's like, I don't know if I want to read this on the show. So why would I have made it up?
Here.
All right. Let's jump into this. I'm going to have to find it for just a second. Okay. Subject line. I had a dream. ... Nick or James. I don't know. Oh, I guess that's what I was thinking about earlier when I said, hey, people always email us and say, hi, Nick or James. I guess this is where it came from subconsciously. I don't know how to start this, but I guess let me preface it by saying every now and then my dreams have too much plot and detail. Some foreshadowing here. I feel like some C-class director, like people who made Sharknado pull the strings in my dreams. But anyways, I feel like this was funny and it was related to you guys. So I wanted to write it down. Basically, the dream starts with a round table of Detroit beat reporters and how they idolize the Field of Dreams and one day want to cover the Field of Dreams game. Cody had a smug look on his face as in the dream, he covered the Field of Dreams, which I'm 99% sure that's factually incorrect. But anyways, someone then asked James his favorite experience and then answered the question for him by assuming it was Paris. James says, nah, and remarks that it was actually quite the opposite. In a Family Guy style cutaway, we then get to Paris, but Paris happens to look like the background of the album cover of Speeding Bullet to Heaven. That is a Kid Cudi album for those who do not know. It seems like a very prehistoric setting. The trees were all parched. The ground was devoid of any vegetation. That's a great sentence right there. Then James says to me,
hold on really quick. Is he sure he didn't have an acid trip?
He sent this at 11:32 in the morning.
Okay.
Depending on the time zone, maybe it was 12:30 for him or earlier later, depending. Anyways, then James says to me, I'm headed to the game. And he drives off in this ratty looking dune buggy as he leaves me out to die in the wildlife. I assume James and I just got spawned into what I'd guess is quote unquote Paris. There's really no backstory as to how we got here. It just happened. Lazy writing, to be honest. Okay. Anyways, I decide to walk along the wildlife and run into a giant black bear. He looks like he's about to rip me to pieces, but then I somehow Dr. Doolittled my way out of it, I guess. And then the bear finds another friend.
He talked him off the ledge.
This guy was lucid dreaming for sure. And then they start destroying the forest. Smokey would be against this. I added that part. By knocking down the dry, dead trees I referenced earlier. I then walk through the tunnel that spawns me into a giant futuristic looking Kalahari. Shout out to Kalahari without any rides or slides. So it's not Kalahari then. It's not Kalahari if there are no rides and slides, but I see what he's going for here.
Shout out to Kalahari.
Yeah, I'll allow it. I see a bunch of employees gathered up outside the building with some instructors who are teaching them basic security measures for keeping the building safe from intruders. Well, I'm an intruder and I'm in the building, but I want the obstacle course. Wait, hold on. But I want out of the obstacle course if somehow someone before us spilled multiple pitchers of water while on the course. I then see James again, and at this point, the Pistons are completely irrelevant. We must get through... I don't know what that has to do with anything. We must get through this obstacle course to escape security. Why does the security care so much? The water has some sort of advanced technology that I can identify and tag humans that... And that can... Okay.
What the...
The water has some sort of advanced technology that can identify and tag humans that go through it. Some arbitrary member of the group shared that information, but signs suggesting as such were plastered throughout the obstacle course. Anyways... So James leads off and he is super slow and not coordinated. I get frustrated after two of these courses and then decide to take it upon myself to go first. We get to this rope swing obstacle, and as the guinea pig of the group, I thought all I needed to do was have this pendulum-like rope to mirror its swing pattern with a moving platform on the other side so that I could land successfully. Unfortunately, for me, I underestimated the distance between the two and I plummeted into the pool like something out of an American Ninja Warrior or Wipeout, depending on how people perceive my athletic ability. I think that's a really honest reflection and assessment of yourself, actually. I realized that after failing, that there was a bar in between the two that I could have just grabbed onto. After James successfully completed it first and I quickly followed him, I then woke up and it was over. Just as well. I feel like my dream became self-aware that it didn't have much plot. And after this, it just ended up getting really dumb. I learned nothing from writing this, but I hope you get a kick out of it. Just a weird dream and a cool adventure. Maybe some up-and-coming director will come up with the same idea I had, and I can claim royalties in court with this email. Who knows? Here's to hoping for Victor Wembanyama. That's the email that we got sent the other day about a dream that one of our beautiful listeners had about James Edwards III of The Athletic.
So I have three things and we'll get out of here. One, not only thank you for sharing, that's, you didn't have to do that.
I mean, he wrote that email.
Yeah, thank you for taking time out of your morning to relive your dream and obviously to great detail express it to us. So thank you for that and for listening. Second, you don't have dreams, you have movies. That was the longest damn, like, that dream sounds like a motion picture. Like, did you have popcorn and M&Ms? Did you sneak a Snickers in from Speedway into the Imagine Theater?
And then AMC, third, AMC, come on.
AM, okay. And then third, and we'll end on this, and this is for a life lesson for everybody. Don't do drugs.
Or at least, well, yeah, I guess we're on The Athletic now, so I got to be a little bit more responsible with this. Yes, I agree. Don't do them. I think the funniest part about this email to me, and again, I love this guy, okay? I do not mean this in a mean way.
No,
but at no point throughout this email did he just backspace the whole thing and delete the draft. He just went full send. And also, like, credit to him.
Are there even periods?
Yes, there are periods and some punctuation in there. The only reason that it was hard for me to kind of keep up with reading it is because there's no, like, what's the word I'm blanking? It's just one huge paragraph. So it's just line,
transitions.
Right.
Yeah.
So going from the end of it to the beginning, sometimes it was a little bit tough, but, I love it. It's interesting because I'd never remember my dreams, which I think just means I don't sleep very well because I can never remember them, right? The only reason you're able to remember your dreams is if you're hitting like your REM cycle, which usually I apparently don't. Because to be able to remember a dream, even if it's super scatterbrained, it doesn't make any sense, to this extent is impressive to me.
Very impressive. And again, thank you for sharing. I'm glad that I didn't read the email or hear about the dream until you just read it. That was an experience in itself. And yeah, I'm truly flattered. Much better. That dream is much better than when Nick says he thinks about me as he's taking a shower. So,
well, I just like to prep for the show, and sometimes I shower before the show and I'm thinking about you in the shower. That doesn't mean I'm thinking about you in the shower. It means I'm just thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, of course, of course. Just you're sitting there rubbing your underarms and picturing my face. Sure.
I have a really nice face scrub that I've been using. But okay, James, let's get out of here. Do you have a quick album? You want to just do Lil Yachty? You want to just do that? Did you have
no,
a chance
I do
to
need
to
I do, everybody. Quite, you texted me about it, and then I heard, and then I saw Questlove co-sign. I need to check it out. No, I'm not picking that. I'm gonna pick
Ice Spice.
Oh, no, I'm gonna pick the new Bully James album. For I don't know if did we shout out, not shout out, but like send our condolences to Bully James, who got in a bad car accident in Detroit a few weeks ago. It sounds like he's doing better.
Good,
but shout out to the legend Boldy James, and go check out his new album.
Yeah, 100%. You asked me the other day, well, what is the email about? What was the dream about? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I'll just have to read it to you. Now you understand why I couldn't just explain to you what the dream email was inside of a single text. But okay, new Lil Yachty, that's what I'm going to pick. New psychedelic rock album from him, Boat Impala. Kevin Parker's got to watch his back because Lil Boat's coming up. The vocals lack throughout the record that's like really consistent, where it's just kind of, it's not punchy enough, it's not refined enough, but it's the attempt, it's the boldness of it that threw me off like completely. So I loved it. I was expecting more like rage beats. I thought that was kind of the territory we were going into, but then the first track I was like, what? And then it sets the tone for the entire album, and it's incredible. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if you're feeling generous. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you can also leave 5 stars. We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.